Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Happy Friday on this November 5th. My name's Kay Adams. Thanks for picking us this morning. Kyle Brandt, Mike.
No. Go on.
Garofalo.
I don't know, Mike. We lost.
It's like D'Angelo, but, you know.
Garofalo. D'Angelo Hall, if that's your real name.
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. You sound like a Ninja Turtle now. Yeah.
And now I want pizza. Way to go, Lead Block.
Lead Block. So we're having so much fun with Mike White all week, and we were wondering, he has such a great name for the New York newspapers. After last night, in which he got knocked out, but was kind of in, maybe he would come back, what did the New York Post go with this morning? Should we see it?
Let's go.
White of the Living Dead.
Are we sure?
And
it's
I
not
get it.
Witte?
It might be Witte of the Living Dead, but that's only if
that's Mike's
ancestors are taken care of. It's a pretty good headline, and it's apropos, because let's get into this. It was a strange status for Mike White the entire game. First status was he became only the second player in NFL history to throw 400 yards in his debut, he and Cam Newton. So then he comes out and he bangs his wrist and his forearm against the giant mitt of DeForest Buckner, and then spent what seemed like hours getting his fingers pulled and prodded by the docs. What do you think, D'Angelo?
I'm a little dumbfounded, man. If I had the game he had last week, ain't no damn way they keeping me out the game this week.
There was an exciting week for a Jets fan, and then 45 points in the defense and Mike White knocked out of the game. So let's hear from Mr. White about a health update. Mike, we wanted a roof break. What happened out there, bud?
We don't know exactly when it occurred. I know I felt it on the touchdown throw to Elijah, that I just kind of felt it kind of almost lock up on me and going to the sideline, my two middle fingers kind of went numb, and I couldn't aggressively grip the ball, you know, enough to be out there and help my team.
His forearm couldn't grip the ball. I think his feeling came back later in the game, obviously in the fourth quarter. By then it was too late. We feel good about him getting healthy over the weekend and being ready for next week.
There was some video of Zach warming up before the game, and it looked like he was moving pretty well, at least throwing. Where is he? I mean, is he progressing a little bit quicker?
No, he's progressing exactly like we thought. So there's hope that we can, like I said, it's the same thing, at the very least practice next week. And we'll see how he progresses over the weekend to see if it's an option to get him on the field.
Love Coach Sala looking dejected, but I'm answering questions about my quarterbacks and not my defense and their performance against the Colts. He's defensive-minded coach. He's going to have a lot to answer all week long. It's just true, Ian. It was a bad showing by the Jets, but let's talk about the quarterbacks here. Mike White injured. Zach Wilson, as you just heard from his coach, also not 100%. What is Mike White's status this morning?
Here's what it looks like going into next week. Mike White, who suffered that forearm injury, seemed to be a little bit of a nerve issue that left him with trouble gripping the ball and couldn't quite make a throw that he felt comfortable with until the end. So here's what we know going forward. He should be fine for next week, so he should be able to practice. Zach Wilson, the number two overall pick and someone they did still believe is the future of their franchise, he should also be practicing as he comes back from that knee sprain. Maybe Zach Wilson takes an extra week to recover, so maybe we actually do get the Mike White start that I think so many of us are just simply curious about. If Wilson progresses faster than they think, maybe he ends up as the starter. But I think most importantly today, it seems like Mike White will at least be healthy enough to go next week.
And of course, there's some good news. There's a couple extra days of rest for whoever is the starting quarterback for those Jets. Now, we have some developing news as we bring in Mike Garofalo, who's weirdly staring at me 5 feet away from me. But we're going to pretend we're not, and we're looking at our direct cameras here. Let's go to Cleveland and talk about it. Odell, Ian, I'll start with you. The latest you can give me on what's going on between Odell and Cleveland and what might happen today or ahead of the weekend.
Well, it is a matter of when, not if. The Odell Beckham era in Cleveland is expected to be over at some point soon. Now, what's going on now and what has been going on the last couple days is a negotiation between Odell Beckham's agent, Zeke Sandu, and the Cleveland Browns to figure out what is going to happen to his contract. Remember, he's in the middle of a huge contract extension. He originally signed with the Giants, and then when the Browns traded for him, they picked it up. He's got about $8 million left this year that is guaranteed. So he is getting that. And from what I understand, there's not going to be a pay cut involved for Odell. So he is going to get that money. So, Mike, what the Browns have been doing is working on a restructure that will likely, this is not firm and final, but likely end like this. Beckham's salary cut down to about $1 million, close to the minimum. He gets the rest in a signing bonus. That means that when the Browns do say goodbye to Beckham finally and end this era, which I think everyone has sort of been, including Beckham, has been waiting to end, then this is a contract that is very claimable. So Beckham wants to be free, but it seems like what the Browns are doing is make sure that he doesn't exactly get to choose where he's headed.
I saw someone suggest that his contract will be so claimable that the Giants will claim it.
No,
that's not going to happen here. They've been through this, and now the Browns have been through this. And now another team is going to say, well, Odell Beckham's got that talent. We'd love to have him in here. We can make it work with Odell Beckham, and maybe they can. We shall see. I do know there is going to be significant interest in Odell Beckham. Mm. I know it's already starting with some of the players who are trying to recruit him, some of the quarterbacks. You probably know who I'm talking about. We'll see how it plays out through the next couple of days here. But we had to address his role in this one, because this week started out with reports that, oh, Beckham was ready to show up for practice and the team told him no, stay home, and it made it seem like some kind of disciplinary thing. It's not that. It wasn't. First of all, they can't do that without officially suspending him or releasing him. You can't bar him from the building. And it was communicated to him that, if you come here, we're going to let you in the building. But he didn't want to be there anymore. In fact, he had asked multiple times over the recent months for a trade from the Cleveland Browns, because it just didn't suit him. The offense didn't. I mean, everybody's making it about Baker and Odell, but right. You know, it's a run-heavy offense. This is an emotional guy, so when he doesn't get the football, it starts to snowball. Mm-hmm. I was told that the way his inaction, that's the way it was explained to me, made it clear that he didn't want to be there. So in the end, the side said, you know what, let's move on. Now, I also saw something else, and this needs to be addressed if you're not paying attention to the ins and outs of this thing.
What's that?
Folks said, I saw a couple tweets about this, why bring him in if you're not going to feature him? This was not the head coach and the general manager that brought him in. That's a very they inherited Odell Beckham. They tried to make it work as best they could. It didn't work out, and he soon will be free to sign with another team if he clears waivers.
Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Hall, player's perspective on this. I will say, I watch you. We've talked about this for 3 days, and every time, even a news, you're all in. You're intrigued by this story, and I think all the players are.
I'm all in because it's no denying that OBJ is a hell of a football player. Just like a lot of really great receivers, they want the football. It's no hiding that fact. And so I just wish the actual truth came out. And I think the actual truth from what I've heard from guys in that building is that Baker's at fault in this whole thing as well. Baker comes in there. Baker's a different kind of guy that I think when we see him in front of the camera, you know, he kind of puts on one face. And there's a humble face. There's a I'm all about the team face, but behind closed doors, I'm hearing different things about Baker Mayfield. I'm hearing he's part of the problem. I'm hearing he throws OBJ. He was throwing OBJ the football in practice, but in games, for some reason, he just wasn't throwing him the football. I heard weeks ago he came to OBJ and said, yeah, this ain't gonna work. And so, you know, I see all of that, and then I see OBJ, you know, kind of getting.
You heard that Baker said that to Odell's face?
Yes.
And so, this isn't going to work.
And so knowing all of that stuff, seeing the way everyone's just has kind of jumped on OBJ, you know, and maybe it's because I feel like I'm OBJ in this equation. Because I've been a part of so many different teams that it's like it was my fault. You know, I got cut from Oakland after signing a $75 million contract 8 games in, and everybody was, what did you do? What did you do? I remember having an E60 special and Lisa Salt. I'm like, well, somebody said you were acting like a butthole. What did you do? And I'm like, wasn't the case at all. Al Davis literally told me, you were the last dude we paid out of that crazy free agent spending spree we did this offseason, and we think you should be the first one since you were the last one. It's only right, unless you take a pay cut. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, Mr. Davis. I just got here. I'm not taking a pay cut. Like, the way my contract was structured. And so I look like the bad guy. I mean, I even had conversations with coaches, and Tom Cable gets on TV and, like, throws me under the bus as if I was the dude who had done something, you know, wrong. And so I'm very emotional about this, because I know the kind of player this dude is. And I also know that it takes two to tango. This isn't so... And OBJ has his faults. You know, he's a diva.
He's very well-liked by players, though.
Very
Giants,
well-liked. Because
Cleveland
he
Browns,
plays the game
everyone
the right
loves
way.
Odell.
He plays hard as hell. He will block. He will do all of those little things. But in doing all those little things, if I'm open,
throw me the damn ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line. And that hasn't happened there. And I want the kid to go somewhere else and go shine. Because I still think he is that type of player that can go out here and literally dictate coverage. Mm. And for me, it blows my mind that this organization can't figure out a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. Because for me, this Browns team has that excitement and has that we can win it all factor because of him, because of the run game as well. But because you also have a guy on the outside, like I love Jarvis Landry, but he ain't no home run hitter. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry is a possession receiver. Like I said, I love Jarvis's game. Mm-hmm. But OBJ's a home run hitter. Mm-hmm. And him as a part of this offense, all working together, that was scary. Just this run game, sprinkled in with some guys on the outside, to me, I just don't think Cleveland has enough.
Mm. I hear you.
He's just a great player that I want to see go out there and make plays.
There's a fascinating divide, I think, with Odell in how the players look at him and how some of the fans look at him. I think there's a great respect amongst players for the talent. I think there's a lot of eye roll amongst the fans. And today, look, obviously it wasn't a fit with Cleveland. For whatever reason, they inherited him, Pian Baker, whatever. The question is, if you were at home watching this show right now, do you want Odell Beckham on your team? Are you saying, yes, let's get this guy, Odell, OBJ? I don't know if I am. I think it depends very much on the team. I think, you know, there's Tampa rumors, maybe. I heard New England rumors. Who the hell knows? But if I'm at home and I got the jersey and I watch Good Morning Football and my team's kind of middling, it's a pain in the ass, man. It is. And it hasn't been worth the squeeze in a long time. It's someone whose fame has well eclipsed his game, I think. And a lot of players, a lot of teams out there that we can help make our team better. I'm not jonesing for it or reaching for it.
Here's the thing, going back to your situation, D-Hall. When it happens once and you're asked, what did you do? And you say, it wasn't me. When it happens twice and you're hearing a lot of those same notes are getting hit again. And again, this is not about, you talked about it. It's not player to player. It's not like he's in that locker room and he's got a bunch of guys saying, get him out of here. You heard them all yesterday and they were telling the truth. We'd love to have him back if he wants to be here. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge qualifier, if he wants to be here. So this went higher than the locker room, just like it did with the Giants. Mm-hmm. So when I say to you now he's going to have his third team and that team's going to say, well, we can make it work. Can you? Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Is there a long line?
Is there
a long line of teams wanting him?
There's no question because, Kyle, they didn't experience it. Like I said with the Giants, where everybody said, well, was he going to go back to the Giants? Giants are sitting there like, yeah, no, he's not coming back here because they've been through it. Yeah. And the Browns have been through it. But 30 other teams are saying, well, we can make it work. And it's only for a short period for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm.
So
right?
It's like a prove it year. He takes a 1-year deal.
Yeah. And he won't be here long enough because it starts here. It always starts here. And then it goes this. So it won't be here long enough to hit that. Mm-hmm. Unless he signs beyond the season. Mm-hmm.
I love you guys. Great conversation.
I love you too.
Odell Beckham Jr. Thank you. I don't even know your last name. Don't tell me you love me. We won't see Aaron Rodgers on the field. But we get Nate Burleson's thoughts on this whole situation after the break.
It's another guy who doesn't know how to say his last name. Nate Burleson.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. Ed Reed on the way. Highlights from last night's Jets Colts kick. We can't, you know, Garofalo just messed me up. Garofalo. And our next guest doesn't make it any easier for me, Kyle.
Mm-mm.
With the last
Give
name.
It a shot.
It's time for the best part of our Fridays. We're welcome back our old friend Nate Burleson. Mm-hmm. Burleson.
Did you just blame Garofalo? Just unsolicited, just blame it on Garofalo.
Yeah, no.
All else fails.
You were working on television. He decided to tell us today that the correct pronunciation of his name is Garofalo.
That's not how it happened.
Garofalo? You trying to make it sound sexy?
That's that's probably what it is.
He wants to be like Garofalo.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Throw us a couple of P's in
nice
there.
Hair.
Makes a difference. Mm-hmm. In the commercial break, you were telling D'Angelo Hall that you liked his take on Odell Beckham Jr. I'm so excited to have you on right now because you've been a longtime vocal supporter of Odell. What do you think?
Well, one, let me say that D'Hall was keeping it all the way real, and which is why he's so good at his job. But I feel him, though. You know, people got in their feelings a little bit when Odell's dad, you know, made the comment under the video that showed that Odell was open more times than people actually realized. What is his dad supposed to do? Is his dad supposed to point out the mistakes, the drop balls, or him not getting open? No, he's going to point out the majority of the time where Odell had a few steps on guys and didn't get the ball. You know, the point of being a wide receiver on any level is getting open. Odell can still create separation. He can still be a playmaker. He can still be a dynamic guy within the space of your offense. You know, you have guys that can move the chain. You have guys that can work the interior like Jarvis Landry. You have the tall guys on the outside. Odell can do it all from sideline to sideline. So the frustration for a wide receiver, a fan of Odell's, is the simple fact that you have him on that roster, you're paying him a ton of money, and it just isn't working out. And for anybody who will say, well, he's been banged up and he's not as explosive as he once was. So we remember before Odell got hurt last season, and he was fantastic in doing it all. Throwing the ball downfield, catching the ball downfield, and running reverses. So if you can't make that guy work, it's not on the player. It's on the offense.
Let's talk about something a little less controversial. Aaron Rodgers, Nate, he has dominated the headlines week for testing positive for COVID-19, which will force, I don't mean to laugh about that, apparently he's fine, which will force him to miss Sunday's game against the Chiefs. Then it was revealed that he's actually unvaccinated, despite saying that he was immunized before the start of the season. Your thoughts on this whole situation? How does this go over in the locker room, although it should be noted that the players did know that he was unvaccinated?
Right. How does it go over in the locker room if the players know that he was unvaccinated and the team is winning? I'm pretty sure I'm in that locker room saying, what's the big deal? Let my quarterback play because he's playing well and we want to win a Lombardi. Now, on the flip side, when you're looking at some of the backlash that other players, not just, Kyrie Irving in the NBA, but you look at Cole Beasley. When he came out and he was very vocal about being unvaccinated, people were taking shots at him, direct shots at Cole Beasley and other players. So now you have Aaron Rodgers, who somewhat misled the media. I'm not even going to say somewhat. Yeah, he did. He misled the media into allowing them to think that he was vaccinated. So I understand why, from the outside looking in, people are paying attention to what Aaron Rodgers has been doing over the last couple of months in Green Bay, because there are certain protocols, right? You're not supposed to eat with guys that are vaccinated or lift at the same time. You know, you got to wear a mask in certain places in the building around your teammates and media. And it looks like some of those protocols might not have been followed. Now, I don't know that for sure, so I'm going to say that some of them might not have been followed. But with that said, if that is the case, then what's going to happen? Is this just preferential treatment for one of the NFL's superstars? We've seen it before. It happens, right? But when it comes to COVID, though, and putting people at risk, not just your teammates, but also people within that organization and the media, it's a much bigger deal than people are making it seem.
Nate Burleson, with this savage raiding of your children's Halloween candy on Wednesday. I didn't see this, but I heard about it. You picked out whatever you wanted from their trick-or-treat bags.
Yep.
I'm just asking, as an aunt, what are the rules of engagement as a parent here? Are there certain candies that are off limits, a statute of limitations? And what's the weirdest thing they were handing out in your neighborhood?
Well, they were handing out these, like, after-school soccer game snacks, these little granola-type bars and shortbread cookies. Like, you don't give that to kids. Come on now. I had to make sure that was one thing that I threw away. Now, when it comes to kids' candies, I feel like there's an unwritten rule that they have first right of refusal because it's the one thing that they actually earned. You know, I mean, my kids are basically growing up like Fresh Prince and Carlton. You know what I'm saying? So they get to do some chores, but not really. They're not outside mowing the lawn like I used to. But when they go out there and walk door to door out in the cold, they actually earn that candy. So if my kid looks at me, he's like, Pops, I'm gonna need you to come up off my candy. I'm not gonna get offended. I actually gotta look at him and say, you know what? You earned it. 2 hours out there in the cold, door to door, you got it, fam.
It's really good, especially since they have to walk 2 acres every time over the property in the neighborhood that you live in, Nate. That's a lot of work, too, for them. So they really did earn that pack of nerds.
They take Ubers from house to house, I hear.
Yeah, a golf cart.
They might.
You got an Uber XL just to go to the next house.
Your neighborhood ain't too shabby either. Come on, KB. I know where you live, fam.
Talk about it.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Bye, Nate. Great to see you. Good luck on Sunday. You're the absolute best. Well, let's break down some of these matchups on something we call Mad Minute. 60 seconds on the clock. Let's kick it off with Jordan Love. Can't wait to see this kid leading the Packers against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. What are we looking for in this one, Kyle, as we are robbed once again of Aaron Rodgers v. Patrick Mahomes?
I believe in a thing called love. I don't know if I do, actually, but I'm going to be watching him. I don't know if Matt LaFleur does. What's interesting is coming out of college, a lot of the comps that Jordan Love would get were Patrick Mahomes. He's sort of a Patrick Mahomes type. He could evolve into Patrick Mahomes. Now he plays Patrick Mahomes. I want to see what this guy's like in the fourth quarter if it's tight. I want to see what he's like in the fourth quarter if it's not tight. I want to see how he talks to Devontae, how he talks to LaFleur, because this could be the future. Amazing people watching in this one, Mike. Just Jordan Love all day.
You guys, last week when we were talking about the Thursday night game, you showed the Thursday night Cowboys-Packers game from way back. Rodgers comes in when Favre gets hurt. He plays well, and the Packers are saying, well, we have got our guy. So this game on Sunday is more than just a big game for the Packers this year. This is the long story here that we're watching here. If he comes out and he plays well, this is going to have offseason implications.
I'm looking at this Kansas City defense, all right, because we all know Green Bay is going to try to do what Jordan Love by protecting him. They'll run the football. They'll have some schemed up plays. But I want to see if this Kansas City defense can take the next step. Did I run out of time? Yeah, Kansas City defense has to take the next step. So.
Spagnuolo, you're on notice. The Packers' seven-game win streak is their longest since 2011 when they started the season 13-0. Okay, we've got an NFC South divisional battle. The Falcons and the Saints facing off in New Orleans. You hate my little Nuggets stats, but I love them.
Well, I love them.
What are you watching for here? Mike Garofalo, Falcons, Saints.
Trevor Siemian. I mean, I know Sean Payton's not really giving it away, right? It might be Taysom Hill. It's going to be Trevor Siemian. I mean, we'll see some sprinkles of Taysom Hill like we always see of Taysom Hill. Trevor Siemian's a nice little quarterback. I like him. I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to run the offense well.
Wow. What is he like? A nice little quarterback.
Did I just insult him?
It's so patronizing, but I think it's accurate. That might be a compliment. No one else is saying that this morning.
If it's accurate, that's all I care about. I'm a reporter.
And the Falcons got to try to find a way to find another target. I mean, they tried to sit there and force feed Kyle Pitts. I showed y'all the breakdown. When you put a corner on him, though, it's a different ball game. Guys aren't going to defend Kyle Pitts with linebackers and big old safeties. They're going to put some corners on him because this dude is running routes. So, Matt Ryan, find somebody else to throw the football to every now and then. I love Kyle Pitts, too, but got to find another target out there.
Also, that's Matt Ryan, don't lose to Trevor Siemian. Like, last week you lost to P.J. Walker and Sam Darnold. And if anybody says Matt Ryan is a nice little quarterback, the Atlanta Falcons fans are furious with daggers out like that. Keep the Falcons alive, rather. Beat the Saints. Don't lose to Trevor Siemian.
Saints have won 6 of the last 7 over the Falcons. Do you think he likes Trevor Siemian more than Carson Wentz?
He doesn't like anyone more than Carson Wentz. It's like one of his children.
Who would you rather have? Trevor Siemian or Carson Wentz?
I'll take Carson.
Yeah, all right.
I'll take Carson.
What? The Broncos head to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. What's intriguing? D'Angelo, win this one.
This Broncos secondary, I mean, I got to see him live last week and watching Patrick Surtain sit there and go blow for blow with Terry McLaurin, who I think is one of the most underrated receivers in the game. I can't wait to watch him line up against Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and then the rest of those guys in that Broncos secondary. Mm-hmm. I know they don't have Von Miller, and that's a big loss to that football team, I think, because rush and coverage meet together. But I tell you what, I love the Broncos secondary and going up against
it. It's weird to see Denver without Von Miller. It's been a decade. I don't think we're going to see the Cowboys without Dak Prescott. Looks like he's going to play, and I think the Cowboys are going to win big in this one. I still think they're the best team in the league right now. We're going to watch this week. I really do. I think they're the number one team in football. They haven't lost in 7 weeks. I don't think they'll lose this one.
Absolutely. That is certainly the biggest storyline, Dak Prescott. But when you lose Von Miller as this Broncos team, he's the heart and soul of your organization for, 10 years or whatever it was? How does the team react? You go on the field and you kind of look over and he's not there. I mean, I understand he's been injured before, but the notion of he's gone and he's not coming back, how does this team react? I'll be interested to see what kind of effort they give.
Cowboys have lost 6 straight to the Broncos. Last time the Broncos won was 1995. Consequently, that was the time that they won the Super Bowl. Mm. The Vikings face off against the Ravens in Baltimore. What's got you excited about this matchup, Garofalo?
It's at Kyle's face.
No, I don't hate the trivia. I'm always nervous about the trivia question coming.
Oh, you're like,
I'm always like, what happened in 95? What happened? I'm in my head. Mike, what do you think?
I hate it, but it's so irrelevant.
I like them.
I kind of like saying them. Go!
I've got this game for game day morning, so I'll be down in Baltimore, so I'm excited about that one. Yeah. How about Rashad Bateman, right? He is, I knew I'd get you
Let's go!
You love it. He's back. He's feeling good. I talked to him yesterday. He said, coming back from surgery, didn't know if he could trust it and all these things, but he looks great on film. And I think he's going to be a big weapon for Baltimore down the stretch.
Hey, I got to give some love to my former teammate, Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's playing lights out football right now. And look, Wink Martindale loves to blitz. So I think the Vikings will have some answers. Kirk has to stay poised in that pocket, hit his elite receivers, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. I think they'll make some plays.
This is the game that the Vikings win. And I mean traditionally, like in their brand. When they're out, like they beat the Ravens when no one expects them to after the terrible loss last week. Then they'll beat the Chargers. Then they'll lose by 30 to the Packers. This is the Vikings sort of in the middle of the pack brand. Baltimore's going to hate this. I actually think Minnesota's going to win this game because that's what they do.
That's what they do. John Harbaugh, 10-3 coming off bye. Weeks.
That's really good.
Pretty good. We talk about Andy Reid. Why don't we give John Harbaugh love? The Patriots guys going down to Charlotte, battling it out against the Panthers. Stephon Gilmore looked good. A little revenge game for him. Kyle, what are you looking for?
There's this whole movement now. Here come the Patriots. Here they come. And Peter's doing the Imperial March. He doesn't even know what the song is. I saw everyone saying, here they come. Here they come. It is kind of interesting, the Sam Darnold factor. Because remember, this is the defense that made him see ghosts, and that's going to brought up, and that's going to be on Twitter. I don't see any reason why New England won't win this. Carolina's not trending great right now. I know they won, but I think New England takes this game. I do.
Wait, so Peter, I saw most of the show.
Peter goes, what's that Star Wars song? Dun, dun, dun. And Peter's like, never seen any Star Wars. But he says the Patriots are now like the Empire coming back storming over the...
Here they come. I dig it. I love the Gilmore revenge factor. He's down in Carolina. He's feeling good about a lot of things. It's a new, fresh start, and then you look up, and all of a sudden, there's that logo I used to wear. How does that affect you mentally?
Bad juju there a little bit. A little something there revenge-wise.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. You know he wants to make a play.
Yeah.
And that Panthers defense, look, I think that New England does win this game, but I think it's going to be a little bit harder than a lot of people give them credit for. Phil Snow, what he's been doing with that Carolina defense, they can rush the passer, and they got some guys on the back end that can cover a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know if mac and cheese has a great day, but I do think New England wins this.
Are you saying Peter's like going too soon on this and like you need to see more? Or are you in on the Patriots being a thing in the AFC?
I'm just kind of zagging because it seems like a lot of people are saying here come the Patriots. Yeah. And so, you know what? I changed my mind. Carolina wins by 20.
Carolina, weird stat here.
What do you got?
The Panthers have won 3 of their last 4 against New England.
Okay.
What?
That's something.
That's strange.
Keep pounding.
It is time for some Top 5 Friday for week 9. These are the best fantasy values, some sleepers to plug in your lineup. Wide receiver is really bleak, but we start with a quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. Great matchup on Sunday. How did I say this yesterday?
Yeah, it was something.
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
He's got the Texans. Easy. He's thrived this year whenever he has a soft matchup, like the one he has in week 9. He has 20 or more points when he faced the Falcons, the Jets. So if you lost Rodgers, if you have Brady, you can't play him. They're both on a bye, or he's on a bye, rather. Put in Tua Tagovailoa at running back. A.J. Dillon. Mm-hmm. How about that? The Packers running back, too, had 16 carries for 78 yards against the Cardinals last week. I would imagine Melifer wants to do a little of the same here. Jordan Love, manage the game. Let's run our offense through the run. I think he gets heavy volume again. Great matchup against the Chiefs. No Aaron Rodgers under center. At wide receiver, Kadarius Toney. Mm-hmm. There's an easy one to say. Toney's had a few quiet weeks after dealing with some injuries, by all accounts. He is healthy, and I think he gets going in a game that the Giants are likely going to have to put up some points and open up the offense against those Raiders. That defense that's been really generous to opposing slot receivers. You love Derek Carr. If he lights it up, he tries to do something, this team rallies. Game script-wise, I think that Kadarius Toney's going to have to do his thing for the Giants to try to do something to get this offense going. Another wide receiver, because you can't play, I mean, honestly, Mike Godwin, you can't play Mike Evans. There's so many missing, especially with bye weeks. Van Jefferson is coming off back-to-back games with double-digit fantasy points. He has less competition for snaps and targets following the release of DeSean Jackson, so I would play him this week against the Titans at Sunday Night Football. They've allowed the second most points to receivers this season. And finally, at tight end, Dan Arnold! I put him on my waiver list on Tuesday. He reeled in 8 catches for 68 yards on 10 targets. Double-digit targets for a tight end is awesome. He's become a safety blanket for Trevor Lawrence, one of his top targets through 8 weeks of the season. I think it very much continues in week 9. The Jags have to throw a lot against the Bills this week. So take a look at my top list of some good values here. Tua Tagovailoa, if you don't have Brady, if you had Rodgers, he's a great pickup. If you couldn't get Carson Wentz in your lineup yesterday, A.J. Dillon, 16 carries is pretty good. I imagine that continues against the Chiefs. I don't know if the touchdowns do, but I like him. Any thoughts?
Yeah, the Dillon thing seems to be right on the nose. Like, everything suggests that he's going to be very active. I personally hope that one's wrong.
Why?
Because I want to see Jordan Love cook. I want to see him play.
What will impress you? 3 touchdowns, 300 yards? Like what kind? Just
command. Like I want to see him have a chance to win the game at the end. And I hope that like if the Chiefs get out of control with it, then they won't be able to give it to Dylan. But most likely it'll be. I mean, Dylan's a great fantasy player this week. But in reality, I really want to see the game in Jordan Love's hands.
Do you think Matt LaFleur in any reality is going to let that happen?
Only if he has to. If it's 17-0 Chiefs, and it's like, well, Jordan, get ready to start chucking it. But we'll see. I don't know. That Chiefs defense is pretty bad, too.
The Packers defense looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kyle, to your point, is game flow, too, right? How's the game going? Is Jordan Love handling some of the looks that Kansas City is giving him? Is the Kansas City defense still as bad as we all think they are?
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of a flow that LaFleur will ultimately decide, hey, I'm stick with this run game and protect this guy, or let's go.
For our show's purposes, is it more fun if Jordan Love has the best game ever or the worst game ever?
By far
for
the best game ever.
Really?
Because we're going to show this Chiefs-Packers game in February, March, April, June, July. It is going to be the piece, the Zapruder film of the Packers offseason. If he blows it up, those 4 touchdowns, we really have something.
Kyler Murray coming off his first loss of the season at the hands of the Packers. Which version of Kyler do we see week 9? We've got that game preview and more Mad Minute style next. Good slate on Sunday. Let's break it down. 60 seconds on the clock, please. The Giants welcoming the Raiders to town, guys. And this is a big one. You know I like Kadarius Toney very much. Mike, what do you like in this one?
Yeah, first of all, Saquon Barkley back in the building this morning. It was a confirmed false positive. The Giants have had a ton of false positives this week. A short week. You got guys in and out because of COVID, but not even COVID. They're out because of a failed test. So Saquon back. But he's still got that ankle, so I don't think he's going to play. I do think the Giants play well. This feels like a Giants win to me.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders. I mean, we talked about it earlier, having to deal with their coach, now having to deal with Henry Ruggs, wanting to see those guys respond the right way. I mean, that's a football team that's been through a whole lot. And so I just want to see those guys go out, respond the right way against a Giants football team that they should be pretty handily, in my opinion.
I feel the same way about the Raiders. The Raiders have won 2 in a row. It's been already an unbelievable, notorious, infamous season for a lot of terrible reasons. They continue to win and continue to garner that national attention for reasons on the football field. They will become something of a black hat America's team this season for enduring through that. I think it continues this weekend. I bet they bounce back from this terrible week and they beat the Giants.
It's well said. Do you want to do Chargers-Eagles?
Okay.
Want to do that one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Bolts against the Birds. Chargers heading east to take on the Eagles in Philly. What intrigues you, D'Angelo, on this one?
I mean, I think it's going to be how Justin Herbert responds. I mean, this is a kid who has not had a lot of adversity.
Let's go.
I mean, he has hit the ground running. His first year. Second year, I thought he struggled a little bit with new coordinator Joe Lombardi, but it just seemed like they continued to roll. Then Bill Belichick came to town. Kind of confused him a little bit, had some turnovers. I want to see how he responds. This Eagles football team, okay. Jonathan Gannon, their DC, he's been mixing things up a little bit. The fans wanted more pressure. I think he switched some things up a little bit. So I'm excited to see Justin Herbert get back out there on the football
field. This is going to be a fun game to watch because they're home in Philly at 3-5, and it's almost, I don't know if it's loser leaves town, but Philadelphia needs to win this game, and they need to finally respond to the Nick Sirianni deal, and they need to finally back up Jalen Hurts. 4-5 with a home win over a team that seems pretty good. Maybe rally that team in Philly, Mike.
A team that seems pretty good. That's the key. You know, last week they did the things that people wanted to see. They ran the football, they played good defense, and everybody said, well, you did it against the Lions. Well, the Lions have been playing teams tough. Apparently it wasn't enough for folks. They want to see it against the Chargers. That's the intriguing storyline here.
I mean, just I'm looking at Herbert's numbers, guys. Back-to-back losses, 209 yards a game, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So he's really got to turn that around. All right, let's go finally to LA. The Titans head out there to take on the Rams. That's your Sunday Night Football surf and turf. What are you excited about? Mike G, which is the only safe way to say your name.
Yeah, I'll take the layup since I'm going first here. It's how do they replace Derrick Henry, and the expectation, I believe, is that Adrian Peterson's going to play right out of the gate. I mean, he's not going to have a full complement. You
got
to kind of mix him in. But then Jeremy McNichols, nice little player. I did it again. Jeremy McNichols, nice. Been hanging
seven
around, hanging
carries.
Around, kind of like the end of rounders. Gets a chance to shine a little bit here.
I mean, and he is a nice player. But he is not Derrick Henry. I tell you what, I mean, just trying to figure out what this offense is going to look like without Derrick Henry. And then, you know, I'm excited about the Rams. You know, I had to text Les Snead, said, hey, Les is the GM for the Rams. I had to text him and say, Les, I love what y'all did with Von Miller, because I do think that is a complimentary piece that takes this Rams football team
did
to
he
the
respond?
Next level. Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
D-Hall, I love that you love us making moves like that. I said, I wish y'all made some moves like that when I was playing.
I'm sorry for that. Couldn't have
that was back in Atlanta. He was with me in Atlanta. Though.
Tell me, love, the coffee mug that Les Snead's kids gave him. It's something about the draft picks and how he feels about them. And maybe we'll see that this weekend. We'll see. How about this on a Friday? This guy is in the conversation for greatest football player to ever live. And most unpredictable Good Morning Football guests. He's got a gold jacket. He's got a gray beard. He is an icon. He is Ed Reed. What's up, Ed?
What's up? What's up? Good morning.
Ed, let's get into it right away in the AFC North. I remember during the Ed Reed era, you guys weren't getting stomped and smacked around by any Cincinnati Bengals team, and yet we did watch that happen. They lost to the rival. It was really, one said, 41-17. What are your thoughts on this Ravens state of the nation right now, midway through the season, 2021?
You know, division games are always tough, and believe it or not, we always had battles against Cincinnati. Though the Ravens had a bye this past week, they could have been looking forward to that. Plus, they came off a tough win the week before. You know, you got to stay focused week to week. This is the NFL. You know, on any given Sunday, you could be beat.
Great to see you as always. Thanks for joining our show. You recently had some constructive feedback for Lamar Jackson. You mentioned to the Ringer, quote, great quarterbacks don't take hits. Why was it important for you to point that out? You know the gravity of your voice, especially in that locker room. And how have you seen Lamar's game evolve throughout this season?
I like how things get worded when I do say stuff. You know, I'm not critical of Lamar Jackson. I'm critical of quarterbacks in general. Definitely more as people are, as the media is when it comes to African-American quarterbacks. I can point out all type of quarterbacks that's been hit that take those hits, and over time, those hits catch up with them. Most recent quarterback is Cam Newton. A quarterback can't take those hits. Ask Peyton Manning. Why you think Tom Brady is still playing after 30 years? You know, there's a reason for that. You know, because he don't take those hits. A quarterback has to throw the football. You know, once you get into throwing the football and taking those hits that we give out as defenders, you know, it affects your throwing. So I want to see Lamar Jackson have success. I want to see longevity out of our quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of the biggest fans. So, yeah, I'm critical as well. I'm thinking more like a teammate. You know, this is stuff I've seen in college with Derrick King. This is no secret. You know, I'm not saying anything that people don't know. You know, I'm trying to look out for Lamar as if he was my teammate, because I know if he's on the field, Baltimore wins.
And it's been a rocky situation with Odell Beckham Jr. and the Browns over the last few days. Now they're working toward parting ways. Do you think this could affect the Browns over the course of the rest of the season?
Of course it'll affect them, but this business is next man up. You know, Odell got to check himself. He's bouncing around a little bit right now. You know, it might not just be the organization. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror. You know, that's a tough situation that they have going on. The Browns been a little rocky organization, you know, over time. So hopefully they can iron that out and it work out for both. But, you know, obviously something that's not working.
Playing free safety, everybody wanted to be Ed Reed. That's how much of an impact you had on the game when you played, now that you're retired. When you watch the game, who do you think reminds you the most of yourself and why?
Nobody, honestly, because I didn't just play free safety. I played both, you know, and I tell that to young safeties now. You know, you can't just focus on being, you know, on one side, you know, or just being that stronger free safety. You got to be able to play them both. You know, I see attributes to different guys at times, but I don't see nobody consistently making those plays, you know, and affecting the game the way we did. You know, I was making plays at crucial moments of the game. You know, I see guys out there making plays as Poyer, those guys in Buffalo, Arizona with Bubba, you know, Adams in Seattle, you know, and I mean, I like Corners and Diggs and Ramsey and those guys making plays. You know, I think D'Angelo, man, you know, especially with this day and age in football, how it's purely offensive driven. These guys should be making more plays, man, but they playing a little timid out there, and I think that might be because of the rules of the game.
Please visit us again, Ed. Thank you.
Definitely, man. Good morning. Bless to y'all.
Greatest of all time.
The GOAT.
Ed Reed, baby.
We love making predictions, and we have very little time to do a Pigskin Picks. Who goes first? It's going to be
me.
Mike, go ahead.
There you go. Saints hosting the Falcons in the Superdome. I called Trevor Siemian a nice little quarterback earlier. I think I insulted him, but I love the guy, and that's why I'm going with the Saints as my...
Light him up!
Birds again.
Light him up just right there.
100% grade A. Grassman, pay for that. Picks get picked away. Adam's been in there.
Yeah, I'm 2 minutes. I'll be off the show, and I'll be starting my weekend. Right, Kyle? We'll be off the show, running to our homes. I've got my eye on the matchup between the Packers and the Chiefs. Whoa, what was that? Matt LaFleur does his thing. Packers take down the Chiefs. Ooh. That is my Packers with LaFleur and Jordan Love.
Light her up.
Let's go. Perfectly curated eyebrows. Let's go.
Awesome blue job. Tent.
She-Haw, get in there.
Got a feet kicked up. And look, I'm going with the Rams hosting the Titans. I mean, come on. Kay just mentioned it. Tennessee hadn't won a game without Derrick Henry since he wasn't drafted there in 2015. So, and then, you know, this Rams defense. That's why I'm going with the Rams for my...
Light them up!
The Hall.
3, 2, 1. All right, so the Titans have not won a game without Derrick Henry. They haven't lost a game with Adrian Peterson. I think they just lost their best player, and they're going to be wildly motivated, and Mike Vrabel's going to coach them up and get a win in L.A. I'm going opposite, D-Hall.
Wow.
I'm going for the Titans as my... SoFi Stadium. Adrian Peterson, the oldest man in L.A., is going to run for 87 yards and a touchdown. You heard it here first. Light him up.
You know,
I think the Titans win.
Mick Nichols is a nice little player, too.
I heard
we'll
that.
See
so
what
many
he
nice
does.
He actually is little.
D'Angelo, I'd just like to say hi to Mr. Vrabel this morning. Good morning to Mr. Vrabel.
You said you did?
I said we should say good morning.
Oh, yeah, good morning.
Yeah, we had Kevin Byard on our show yesterday. We're just going to give all that love back. We've got D'Angelo Hall. He's got the day off tomorrow. Mike Garofalo, he'll be on Good Morning Football.
Oh, day's off.
Weekend. No, and then, of course, Kyle Brandt. We're leaving. We are out of here.
I'm out, too.
Have a great weekend. Yeah. Bye. Life's a beach, so enjoy the way.